continue a little bit more about Yudei Gavra. We'll try to appreciate what the Rabbeinu Peretz does, what Tosis refuses to do. We'll see if the Rabbeinu Peretz has a colleague. And then, Emirat Hashem, we'll move over to the next-to-last halacha in the sugya, the role of Beis Din and Eidos. And then, if we have time on Thursday, we'll go back to Chazara, namely, how do you undo a Tam? How do you undo a Mu'ud? Which comes up in the beginning of the Mishnah, and it comes up in the Gemara, but obviously, logically, you first want to think about how do you become a Mu'ud, get all those halachos detailed, and then say, well, now that we know how you become a Mu'ud, how do you undo a Mu'ud? It'll be like learning Gittin before you finish learning Kiddushin. Kiddushin is how you make a marriage, and then learning Gittin is how you break a marriage. So obviously, can't learn all Kiddushin before, but this is a small enough topic. You want to try to get all the halachos of how to become a Mu'ud. It's a little bit of a tool here, right? Don't, in the middle of discussing how to become a Mu'ud, start thinking about how to undo a Mu'ud. First, learn all the halachos about how to become a Mu'ud. And then once you know what a Mu'ud is, as best as you can, how do you undo a Mu'ud? So just a little bit of getting your mind straight. Don't just follow the sugi as it appears. Try to put the sugi into your own order, your own organization. Okay, what did we see yesterday? We saw yesterday a very, very strange halacha called Yehudei Gavra. The Pashas is Yehudei Tura. It's all about the shore. The shore performs three negichos, either three negichos in one day, three negichos in 3 days. We saw last week that a Behuda's demand for 3 days could mean because the shore doesn't just turn into a violent animal, but it changes its status, and its status change may need time in halacha, similar to a zava. But why would you say Yehudei Gavra? What does Yehudei Gavra mean? So there are three layers to yesterday's shir, and I'm going to repeat the layers. Layer number one is, don't make a big deal about Yehudei Gavra. Yehudei Gavra is just the zev, oh my gosh, business. Namely, you have to go through a process, whatever that process is, but whether you hold that becoming a mu'ud is a pshia, or becoming a mu'ud is a chal hashem, mu'ud isn't going to pay 100% unless the baal augments his pshia. That's standard. Whether mu'ud is more violent or mu'ud is a chal hashem, you can't make someone pay just because his animal is a chal hashem mu'ud if he doesn't know. We saw the Hashlama raise that possibility. It's ridiculous. Oh, your animal is now a mu'ud. You're off in the Bahamas. You have no more pshia, but you've ate ezek shalin. It's ridiculous. So even if mu'ud means changing the halachic status of the animal, the baal has to know and to be prepared to pay nezek shalim on the fourth round. How do you prepare a baal? So Yehudei Tura means tell him one shot, three negichos, whether three negichos in 1 day, Rebbe Meir, three negichos in 3 days, Rebbe Yehuda. Now you tell the baal, your animal's a poshea. Oh my gosh, loud as possible, he has to pay, Yehudei Tura. The Yehudei Gavra position says no. That it takes a while for a person to process how terrible his animals become, either empirically or halachically. So therefore, here's the key word. What Yehudei Gavra really means is you have to interlace Eidos / Beisdin / Hasra, whatever that means. You have to interlace telling the Baal, informing the Baal, updating the Baal, warning the Baal. You have to give the Baal information in Beisdin, interlace with the Negicha. Negicha, Eidos / Hasra Beisdin. Negicha, Eidos / Hasra Beisdin. Negicha, Eidos / Hasra Beisdin. You have to interlace them. Do you need the Hasras and Beisdin on separate days? No, as long as they're interlaced. So you can, in theory, have, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Negicha on Sunday. Monday morning, they bring him into Beisdin about Negichas, about Sunday's Negicha. Monday at noon, the animal does a second Negicha. Monday at night, they give him a second Hasra, because they have two Hasra and two Beisdin events on the same day. And then on Tuesday, the third Negicha with the Hasra. So you don't really require spreading the Beisdin activity, the Eidus Beisdin and Hasra, across 3 days. There's no such thing called Aren Yehudei Gavra. That's just a myth. That's just a fancy word the Gemara say. The interpretation of Yehudei Gavra means make sure you interlace your activities in Hasra. Make sure you don't just give him one last moment. One last, oh, by the way, your animal gored three times. My animal gored three times. I just got off the plane from the Bahamas. What are you telling me? I'm not in the mood to process this right now. I'm still, on the beach. Like, what? But if after every negicha, you bring him to base, then he said, by the way, your animal gored. Then you bring him to base, and your animal gored. Then you bring him to base, your animal gored. And that would mean that the Yehudei Gavra option, which is just a fancy way of saying interlace your warnings and your eidos, applies equally to Rebbe Meir and to Rebbe Yehuda. First, we determine what it takes for an animal to be a mu'ud. That's Friday's shir. By the way, whether mu'ud is empirically violent or mu'ud is a chal hashem, the guy has to know, the guy has to process, the guy has to say, oh my gosh. So what does it take for a guy to say, oh my gosh? Yehudei Tura means one shot. Yehudei Gavra means the guy has to take time to process it. So after every negicha, however you stack your negichas, so Rebbe Meir says you can stack them in 1 day, because it says you stack them in 3 days. However, you stack your negichos, interlace them with Hasrael's Eidus and Basin. That's the simple pshat of Yehudei Gavra. It has nothing to do with the person. It doesn't show us anything about Muad. It's not a big chiddush. It's just a psychological pshat. Okay? Yes, he's all
that. So, it's not that when you said really Yehuda could have the Yehichas on Sunday and on Tuesday and Yehichas you meant in terms of the Hasra, but practically you said the Yehichas have to be spread out.
The Yehichas have to be spread out, but the Eidus doesn't have to be. The Eidus just has to be interlocking. So you can have, in theory, Sunday Negicha. Monday morning, they bring the Eidus and the Hasra on yesterday's Negicha. Monday afternoon, there's Negicha. Monday night, there's Hasra. So you don't need to spread the Hasras. The big Chiddush is the Chiddush in Rashi. Rashi believes, in its Pashtus of the Gemara, that this whole Yude Gavra option is only reasonable, is only feasible in Rabbi Yehuda. If you hold a Rabbi Meir for sure, Yude Tura, give him one warning after the three Negichas. The whole question was just posed within Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Very similar to the Machlokas Abai in Rava, which is only within Rabbi Yehuda Shita according to the Gemara, which gave us a sense that Rabbi Yehuda, Henry, is like a different category than Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda is not just saying, oh, Rabbi Meir, I don't like the Richak option, the Kirav option because of the excuse, it's a bad day. It sounds like it's a different way to view Muad. Oh, no, now that you view Muad differently, let's think about, do you pay Nezek Shalom on the third Negicha or only the fourth Negicha? Abai in Rava's Machlokas, if you take it literally, as Rashi did, on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis. The same thing here. Yudei Gavra is only an option of Yehudah Kabiyudah. Why? What does this tell us about Yudei Gavra? Why should Yudei Gavra? If Yudei Gavra is just a psychological question, one Hasra or interlaced stage Hasra's in Beis Din, what does that have to do with Rabbi Meir and Yehudah? Just interlace Rabbi Meir and interlace Rabbi Yehudah. Same way you can interlace Rabbi Yehudah, you can interlace Rabbi Meir. Evidently, I'll say this again, listen to my language, because this is something you just need to settle in. It's a very abstract concept. Yudei Gavra does not mean interlacing. If Yudei Gavra meant interlacing Hasras and Beis Din, it would not apply in Nikla to Behuda, because you could interlace Rabbi Meir the same way you interlace Rabbi Yehuda. Evidently, Yudei Gavra means something else. That's the Chiddush. If it meant interlacing, it would be universally applicable. It means something else. Yudei Gavra means, as the Gemara says, not to interlace, but to spread the Beis Din activity over 3 days. Namely, Yudei Tura means you can condense the Beis Din activity in 1 day. Yudei Gavra means you have to spread the Beis Din activity over 3 days. Which means, Yisrael David, you can't have two Hasra's or two Beis Din activities in 1 day. You need a Negicha and a Hasra / Beis Din / Eidus on Sunday. Or in theory, it could be Negicha on Sunday and Beis Din on Monday. And then Negicha on, let's go the normal pshat, Negicha on Monday and Beis Din on Monday afternoon. And then Negicha on Tuesday and Beis Din. You have to spread your Beis Din activity the same way that Rabbi Yehuda requires spreading the Negichas. Rabbi Yehuda requires spreading. For him, there's an option. Oh, Rabbi Yehuda, do you need spreading Negichas? Or also, do you need spreading the Beis Din activity? Going to Rabbi Meir doesn't require spreading. The whole option of spreading is ridiculous. Because if you don't have to spread the Negichas, you don't have to spread the Beis Din activity. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, they have to spread the Negichas. The Gemara wants to know, do you also have to spread the Beis Din activity? That's the Yehuda Gavra issue. It sounds like the Gemara is asking, now I'm going to take the second model, which is Alex's model. Well, shame him a little. Alex's model. What really causes the Chaloshei Muad? Assuming according to Rabbi Yehuda that the Chaloshei Muad, what causes it? If it's just the Negichos that cause it, then spreading Negichos is required, but you don't have to spread the Hasra. The Hasra is just to update his Pshia, and one time is enough for the Oh My Gosh. We don't follow the need to have three Oh My Goshes. That's yesterday. That's the first layer. In this second layer, sounds like for Pshia, it's enough. And therefore, all you got to do is spread Negichos. If the Negichos is what turns the animal into a Shahar Muad. But the other option of Yudei Gavra is, you know what turns the animal into a Shahar Muad? A combination of Negichos and Beis Din activity. And since both create the Shema Muad, damage, and damage that's proclaimed in public or indicted, litigated, however you call it, we're going to try to shrink that and sharpen that today. So just like the mechanism of Negichos changes the status and has to be spread over time, similarly, the mechanism of Beis Din, whatever that means, Eidus, Beis Din, Hasra, has to be spread over time, and that's the Yudei Gavra issue. Namely, according to Rabbi Meir, since you don't spread Negichos, why in the heck would you spread Hasra's and Beis Din? According to Rabbi Yehuda, if you spread Negichos, the Gemara wants to know, oh, just like you have to spread Negichos over time, maybe you have to spread Hasra's, Beis Din, Eidus over time, because they both contribute to turning the animal into a Shahar Muad. Okay? That was the second level of Yudei Gavra. We introduced the third level, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more today. Level number one, Adam, Yudei Gavra is just a way of saying interlace. Interlace is applicable both to Emer as well as to Behuda. Level number two is, it's not interlace, because it's only within a Behuda that Yudei Gavra is an option. Behuda creates the model of time, so just like the model of time reorients the sequence of the Negichos, the model of time can also reorganize or reorient the sequence of Hasaros, because they both have to occur over time, the way we're explaining, because they're both creating a Chaloshim. Okay? The third layer is the layer that Rabbeinu Peretz introduced, that tells us reject it. We're going to see if we can find an ally for the Shika. There is absolutely nothing in the Gemara so far. We'll see a possible Gemara in a moment that makes us think that this is an option, other than the words. If you take the word Yehudei Gavra literally, which we haven't until now, the first layer was Yehudei Gavra, it's just a fancy way of saying interlacing. The second way of Yehudei Gavra is a fancy way of saying three-day spread of Hasaros rather than one Hasra. No one took the word, except for Yisrael David, no one took the word Yehudei Gavra seriously. It's just a poetic way of saying stage your Hasaros. It's a poetic way of saying spread your Hasaros over time, because they're not just to help Zev say, oh my gosh, that's also to make the animal into a charmoid. I'll say it differently from a different angle. No one until now has said that if there's a chalos shame change, it's happening to anything but the animal. It may not be a chalos shame change, but even if there is, it's happening to the animal. The question is, what makes the animal into a mord? The gorings, or the gorings coupled with some pronouncement in a public setting in Beis Din. But basically, Yehudei Tura. Basically, the animal's changing its status. The question is, what role do the Hasaros play in changing the animal's status? That may affect the way I schedule the Hasaros. Tosfos and the Rabbeinu Peretz are starting to think about, well, what happens if I take Yehudei Gavra literally? Maybe I'm not trying to change the animal, I'm trying to change the person. Tosfos rejected that, because in his mind, the only way you could change the person is considering him someone who rebelled three times against Beis Din. And the only way to be Mechayivim Nezek Shalim by rebelling three times on Beis Din is the second Negicha is his first rebellion, because he got his first Hasra after the first Negicha. The third Negicha is his second rebellion, because he got his second Hasra after the second Negicha. The fourth Negicha would be his third rebellion, because he got his third Hasra after the third Negicha, and then he allowed a fourth Negicha. So the only time you can make him pay Nezek Shalim would be on the fifth round. And that's against all the Gemaras and Shas. So therefore, Tosfos rejected that notion. We're not trying to change anything about the Baal. We're not trying to prove anything about the Baal. Yehudei Gavra, again, we just have fragments in the Sugya. Tosfos doesn't really tell us how to learn the Sugya. But it's clear that Tosfos says, learn the Sugya one of the two ways you've just learned it. Either layer one or layer two. Either Yehudei Gavra means interlacing Hasaros, or Yehudei Gavra means time spread Hasaros. But there's no way to say you're changing the person. The Rabbeinu Peretz started to think in those terms, that you are changing the person. However, you can already make him Chayiv Nezek Shalim for the fourth Negicha, even though his rebellion isn't complete. He's only rebelled three times, but that third rebellion that happens between Negicha 3 and Negicha 4 hasn't been complete yet, because Negicha 4 hasn't happened. So how can you be Chayiv Nezek Shalim if his rebellion, if his third rebellion hasn't happened? You're going to Chayiv Nezek Shalim after three rebellions. The answer is, well, rebellion happens the second you let your animal out of your house. So the second that, the minute before Negicha Revius, he let his animal out of the house, he's already rebelled against Beis Din. What happened? After Negicha Rishona, he rebelled against Beis Din, Negicha Shniyah. After Negicha Shniyah and the Edus, he rebelled against Beis Din, Negicha Shlishis. After the Edim came for Negicha Shlishis and he let his animal out of the house, you're now more to rebel against Beis Din. Even though you haven't rebelled against Beis Din in three Bava Kamma crimes, because that third rebellion didn't yet lead to a Bava Kamma crime. You want to call your Henry a Mord right now, nothing happened yet. So evidently, the Rabbeinu Peretz, and here, listen carefully, there's a lot here to unpack in Rabbeinu Peretz. Evidently, according to Rabbeinu Peretz, first of all, Mord, you could be Chayiv for rebellion, even if it's not a rebellion that creates a Bava Kamma crime, it's a crime unto itself, which may change the way I view the chiyuv of a muad. Muad isn't paying because now the animal is a regular mazik leshein v'regel. Muad is, you've done terrible things. Since you've done terrible things, we can be chayiv you. And Yishai, you've done terrible things before the animal commits the fourth goring. you've done terrible things because you didn't listen the first time, and the second agicha happened. You didn't listen the second time, and the third agicha happened. You didn't listen the third time, and even though the next agicha didn't yet happen yet, we can say, you're now a mord, and anything that happens to you, you're going to pay nezek shalim. Even though you haven't been through three rounds of Bava Kama crimes. You've been through three rounds of not listening to Beis Din. So it switches, it's a tremendous chiddush in switching how we view the chiyah for someone to pay for nezek shalim. But, now everyone listen carefully, forget that chiddush, that's a tremendous chiddush, but all of a sudden now, we're switching the terminology. Yehudei Gavra means not how I stage or interlace the hasros, but it's all about the animal. Layer one and layer two. Yehudei Gavra means I'm changing the definition of the person. I'm changing him now from someone who was a regular law-abiding citizen into a rebel against Beis Din. And the second you're rebel against Beis Din, you pay. That's an extreme version. A less extreme version of the Rabbeinu Peretz, now listen to me, we'll try to find someone who says that, is it's all about the person, but it's not about someone that rejects Beis Din. It's just we're proving that you're a chronic, what's another word for chronic? Someone always commits crimes. You're a chronic poshea. And it's not about you rejecting Beis Din, which would delay the whole process by one negicha. We're just repeatedly proving that you're a poshea. So after one negicha with the Eidus, you've been proven to be a poshea. After the second negicha with the Eidus, you've been proven to be a poshea. After the third negicha with the Eidus, we know you're a chronic poshea. And chronic posheas pay because they've been either proven to be chronic poshea, or they've been called some different status. We don't really know yet, right? What? That's the old question. Are we just trying to prove the animal's violence, or trying to change the animal's status? Now that we are shifting the core from the animal to the person, the same question arises. Are we trying to prove that you're a poshea? And once we know that you're a poshea, you pay, less likely. Or we're trying to say, by bringing you three times in Beis Din and saying ages three times, after Negicha 1, after Negicha 2, and after Negicha 3, we're giving you a status of a poshea in Beis Din, and that new status makes you pay for the next Negicha, Negicha number 4. The Rabbeinu Peretz felt that we're proving or we're calling you a Beis Din rebel. A Beis Din rebel needs the fourth Negicha because the first Negicha wasn't a Beis Din rebel because Beis Din didn't say anything before the first Negicha. So the Rabbeinu Peretz's definition of what you are as a Beis Din rebel, that created the whole problem in Tosfos. Your Beis Din rebellion only happens three times by the time the fourth Negicha is over. The Rabbeinu Peretz gave his answer. But if we just change the terminology, we're not trying to call you a Beis Din rebel. We're trying to call you a grossly negligent person. You're someone that doesn't care about society. You're someone that has no moral backbone. You're someone that just lets your animal roam free. And we can prove that after three negichos. Edim come and say you did it once, negicha rishona. Edim come and say you did it a second time, negicha shnia. Edim come and say you did it a third time, negicha shlishis. Now you've been called a super poshea. And a super poshea has to pay, but it's about the person, not only, listen carefully, about the shore. I can take Rabbeinu Peretz and the option that Tosfos was shocked by and rejected, if I slightly change the terminology, I can build that third layer of Yehudei Gavra that Tosfos rejected and that the Rabbeinu Peretz accepted, but had to make a very, very fine distinction, which was a big chiddush in Bava Kama. I have the option to say that Yehudei Gavra, so far I don't see any Rishon aside from Rabbeinu Peretz that says it, we'll see in a moment. But I have the option to say that Yehudei Gavra means I'm changing the status of the Baal, not to be a Beis Din rebel, which would require, unless you hold like Rabbeinu Peretz, would require four negichas to prove you're a Beis Din rebel, because you didn't have rebellion in the first negicha, but you're a super poshea, and the Torah made halacha that a super poshea pays nezek shalim, which would again raise the question I talked about in Rabbeinu Peretz. Before I answer your question, Adir, listen carefully. By switching the source of mord from the shore to the person, what does this do about the nature of Shor HaMord? We all thought, why does the Shor HaMord pay Nezek Shalim? Because the animal has now become either violent and your Pshia is upgraded, or the animal has now become. All of a sudden, when I say that I'm trying to change the status of the person, how does that change the nature of Mord payments? As long as it's about the animal, that's classic Bava Kama. My animal did damage. Okay, could I see it coming? Could I not see it coming? Paganizka Knasa, I couldn't see it coming. So once I upgrade the Pshia, or I change the animal to a Mazik, I upgrade the payment, but it's still a regular Bava Kama payment. If I shift as Rabbeinu Peretz does, and as I'm about to show you in some Rishon, I shift the whole weight from the animal to the person, what does this tell me about the nature of Shur HaMod? Why am I being mechayev you because you're such a bad guy? I should be mechayev you because the animal is the mazik and you're a poshea about an animal. You're a poshea about an animal. In the Ben and Peretz, it certainly shifts. I'm wondering to myself, in the option that I'm giving you right now, is it still the same shift as Rabbeinu Peretz by saying we have to change who you are? Adir.
So you're saying that if you can hold similar to Rabbeinu Peretz, but differently and say somehow even for a Negicha, you're somewhat of a Bosha. The whole cognitive process, how can you consider that first Negicha to be Shia?
Look, it's a question by all three Negichas, right? If you,
right.
It's not just a question by the first Negicha.
I think there's more room to say that, like, even though Yeshua wasn't like the Gor, maybe because you were warned before.
Right, which is why the Ben of Parents wants to take it out of Shia to someone that rejects Basin's warnings, even if you're not a Shia. But as you start, it's not enough of a Shia to make you Chayiv, but it's enough of an indicator as to who you are. It's not enough of a Shia to make you Chayiv Nezek Shalim, but it shows that you're not careful. Because the other people in this society are careful, and they're not letting their animals go out. You're someone that repeatedly shows that you have no interest in guarding society. And once you reach that point, again, this is the big chiddush of your Degavra. This is why it's not the pashas of the sugya. But I just want you to see, and we'll see it in a moment, I want you to see there's a third layer to the sugya, which Rabbeinu Peretz starts to explore, tells us rejects out of hand. It doesn't seem consistent with paganistic kness, so you have to all of a sudden say the person's a poshea. What do you mean? The animal was chaskashim, or can't be. Okay. Let's see the Rambam together. I'll just read you the Rambam. If you have the Rambam, please open it. If not, you can use it on your... you can see the Rambam in your phones. The Rav wanted to claim that the Rambam is taking this direction of Yudei Gavra. It's not explicit in the Rambam. But if you open up to Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, Ezo hi muad kol she'itu bo shlosha yamim. What do you see in the Rambam? We'll see other Rambams about this today. According to the Rambam, you need to have the basin activity on three separate days. So that's clearly not like layer one, where you just have to interlace it. It's like layer two, that it's only within a Behuda who has a time sequence that the whole possibility of Yudei Gavra rises, and you have to spread the Hasrels. But the Rambam doesn't mention that the Negichos have to be on the same day of the Hasros. Namely, according to the Rambam, write it better, based in. So according to the Rambam, I don't need, as we said yesterday, Negicha, Beis Din. I can completely separate the Negicha activity from the Beis Din activity. So that starts me thinking that maybe if I require these three, the fact that I require these three to be split, the three Negichos, I could say because of the excuse issue. Because if it's all one day, you don't really know whether you have a violent animal. So it's just, we need to split just for technical reasons. But why would I have to split the Beis Din? And from the Rambam, it sounds like even if the Beis Din split is separate from the Negicha split. Because Rambam just says, Ezu himur, kol she'idu bo, shlosha yamin. Why would I have to split the Hasros independent of the Negichos? So the Rav suggested that maybe in this Rambam, you're starting to see the Rabbeinu Peretz-like approach. That the real change is in the person. And therefore, the real transformational element are the Beis Din. It's not just coupled with the Negichos. If I couple Beis Din with the Negichos, Gavri, I'm still talking about the change in the Shor. The Shor change based on the Goring plus the proclamation. Once I sever the proclamation and the announcements and the Beis Din activity from the Negichos, then I have the option of saying, well, the real issue is Beis Din. And that's why it has to be spread. Why do I have to spread the Negichos according to Behuda? That's just to avoid the Meiri's concern that if the Negichos happen on one day, it's just a bad day, the animal went maniac. But the spreading of the Hasrel is separate from the spreading, because the Rambam doesn't say, Ezeu Muad, Kol She'idu Bo Shlosha Yamim Beyom Shenagach. Kol She'idu Bo Shlosha Yamim. Sounds in the Rambam that I can split the Hasra day from the Negicha day. That's part of what the Rav was saying. Okay, just let people absorb for a second, then I'll answer your question, okay? This is possibly the Rambam's view of Yude Gavra. The Rambam may hold like Rabbeinu Peretz and like Tulsa's rejected, which raises the following question, okay? And we're going to explore this question also in the Rambam. If I really hold, can anyone finish the sentence? If I really hold Yude Gavra is transforming the person into a Beis Din rebel, the way Rabbeinu Peretz understood him, into a super poshea, because you repeatedly just ignore your responsibilities. Then? What's the question?
You sell your enemy?
Okay. I mean, your logic is veering, but don't go to such an extreme case. Who cares? What?
Any animal you hold.
Right. Who cares about the animal? Can I really sever Yehude Gavra entirely from Yehude Tur? Is Yehude Gavra an additional requirement, as it was in layer one, layer two? In addition to the three Negichos, however you say the Remeir of Yehude, you also need Hasra interlaced. Or in addition to Negicha spread over time, you need the Hasra to be part of the process. Once I create this, then why can't I have three Negichos in one day? Okay, the answer to that question is easy, because then you could just say the animal didn't have a bad day. The animal had a bad day. So you need to spread the negichos to prove that you really have a violent animal rather than an animal who's just sick that day. But what Zev is asking is, maybe I should ignore the animal entirely. If I'm turning you into a super poshea. So what would happen if Beis Din came and said, Betsy gored on day one. And then Beis Din came and said that Mayflower gored on day two. And then they came and said that another cow name? I don't know. What? Bartholomew, day three. Forget whether I need to condense the negichos or spread the negichos. If I'm turning you into a super poshea, why do I need to condense it about one animal? That's the question which this whole mahalach raises. The answer to the question, we can answer the question, but it's a fascinating question, and we'll see that maybe the Rambam at least partially buys into a super poshea without condensing it on one animal and spread negichos. What's the answer to that question? If we're just changing the person, you're a Beis Din rebel, according to the Tosafot of Rabbeinu Peretz. You're a super poshea, according to my version of the Rabbeinu Peretz. Why do I need for the same animal to commit all three negichos? I should have a whole new concept of mord called anytime three animals in your flock committed nezek and you repeatedly rebel against Beis Din or you repeatedly ignore your responsibilities, you have to pay. Why don't we still need there to be three negichos for the same animal and at least according to Pidah, I got to spread those negichos over time? What's the answer?
For one, it's more poshea.
Right. It's more poshea and more rebellious if it's about one animal. It's about different animals, so I don't really absorb that there's a super weapon in my rishus, and therefore I'm not that negligent. But if I know there's one animal that repeats it, and I continue to ignore it, then my negligence is augmenting slowly. And according to Buda, those events have to be spread over time, listen carefully, not because the negichos change anything, because the negichos are about the animal, not about me, but I have to spread the negichos, just as we said, just to avoid any excuse that it was a bad day. This is what, before I answer your question, this is what the Hashlama says. Let's read the Hashlama. I gave you the sheets because I don't know if you saw the Hashlama or not, but I really want you to see this unfolding. It's a two-sided Hashlama. And I want you to see where the Hashlama is trying to say, no, Dovi, don't ignore the animal. Don't ignore the animal if you hold Yehude Gavra, which makes me think that Yehude Gavra, maybe he also held that Yehude Gavra is changing the person, and he had to say, but by the way, it's also, you have to have the animal at the core changing the person. It's not about the animal, it's about the person, but only if you have a repeated criminal animal, will the person be a super poshea, will the person. But you have to make sure that it's the same animal, just to make sure the person is a super poshea. Let's see the Hashlema. There's just going to be two underlined parts. The first one is on, let me just see, Yoshida Zaya, which side is first? Okay, this is the first side. The first side is with the word, is it the same one? Like, it's the same one. There are two sheets. Does anyone have a sheet that has ches at the top? Oh, I think she copied the same one. It's the same side, right?
These are the ones that have
ches
on the top?
Yeah. Does anyone have ches on the top? Right, so Right, okay, right. Let's start with this sheet here, okay? Okay, right. There are actually two sheets, and she double-sided it, okay? So everyone should have two sheets. There are two sheets, and on each sheet, the two sides are identical. Okay, but everyone should have two sheets, if possible. Everyone have two sheets? Okay. One sheet says Perek Sheni on the top, and the other sheet has a test in the middle, okay? One sheet doesn't have a test, one sheet has a test in the middle, a big test, a big tet. So, does anyone have this sheet without the tet? Okay. Raise your hand if you have a sheet with no big tet on it. That's what we're going to start reading. Okay, so listen, if you don't have it, it's fine. He says it twice. Or Mistavra Nami, right by the Chatei, without the tet. Defila Laman Diamar Liyude Gavra, Beina Nami Liyude Tura. Listen to that language. Layer 1 and layer 2, there's no big difference in Liyude Gavra, Liyude Tura. That was understood, right? Liyude Tura means it's changing the animal. How frequently do you have to warn? What manner do you have to warn? Do you have to spread the warnings over 3 days? Sounds like he sees there to be a dichotomy. The Liyude Gavra is a completely different model of Mord. You're changing the person. And he's here to tell you what Dovi said. Even though you're changing the person, you still need to have the animal performing 3 negichos. Afilu l'man di'amah Liyude Gavra, binanami Liyude Tura. V'nafkamina, shim ede sholosh negichos makirin es bal ashor, ve'ena makirin es ashor. Let's say they know that Bartholomew, Mayflower, and Betsy did the negichos. It's all one person, but we don't really know which animal. They don't even know which animal. They say, we know one animal in your flock, so be careful, and you continue not to be careful, but we can't condense the negichos to one super weapon animal. You're not going to be chayef. Yeah, and now we'll see, maybe the Rambam will differ. So you got to know there was one animal that repeated the negichos, even though the change is about the person repeatedly ignoring his responsibilities. Now the next piece is on test. He says it again. Okay. In that case, where you don't know that one animal did 3 negichos, if you had this extreme version of Yude Gavra, that would be enough. We tell me, that even the Yude Gavra guy, you need to have one animal doing 3 negichos, lo miayid, kivan she'en makirin es ashor. Namely, Dovi's, right? As much as you want to say the Yude Gavra is about changing the person and changing his status, you still need to have one animal during 3 negichos, which in a Behuda's language means 3 days, because in one day it's just a bad day. Why? After all, we're just making you into a super pusher, a super rebel. The answer is, you're only a super pusher and a super rebel if you have a super weapon in your house. If you don't have a super weapon in your house, even though you're very, very clumsy, you're not a super pusher. But if you have a nuclear ward in your house, no, you don't watch it. You have an animal that scored 3 times, you don't watch it, you're a super pusher. If an animal goes 3 times, you don't watch it, you're a super rebel, because Basin wants you to watch it. Okay, so Dovi's answer is the answer that Shlomo gives, but I just want you to see that this question, to me, makes me think that he's following that approach. I don't know what he says, but this question doesn't even arise according to the first two models. According to the first two models, it's all about the shor, dummy. It's all about the shor, idiot. It's all about the shor, the shor, the shor, the shor. We just want to know how to schedule Basin. Should Basin happen interlacing, or should Basin happen all at once in the end? Does Basin have to be spread over time, just like the Nekichos, or... The fact that he's worried about this, that he asked the question that I asked and that Dovi answered, makes me feel like he sees Yude Gavra as autonomous. We're going to see the Rambam maybe take up the Hashlama challenge and say you could be a Mord for certain things even though you don't know that you have one animal that did all 3 negichos. Azaria.
So I would understand why you would need it to be, in theory, a similar animal or the same animal to have done the negichos in order to become a Muad Baal. But what about if you were already a Baal that was Muad, then what if a different animal and not
maybe,
Muad?
Maybe, we'll see. Very good, we'll see. Very good. You're mechavin to the Rambam. We'll have to see, at least by Kofar. Very good. Adir.
So according to what we have on the board now, we have the people completely separate from having to make them. Neither of our two svaras, either the Parsha svara, which are we just gave to Luke for the parts, seem to fit in very well. You can't really say that you're rebelling against Beit Din if there was no negicha between. You can't really say that you were poshea because of the warnings.
Okay, so Beit Din parents were not accepted, but the Rambam may. Remaining parents were not accepted, and Rambam may. Correct. Remaining parents would still need the juxtaposition of a negicha to a mourning of Basin. Correct. But the Rambam would. Okay. Yes, Avi.
According to the Merit aspect, Merit theory, that
Couldn't you just say that it's because Bisson only warned you about this shore specifically, and not the other charm?
It's a qualification of the merit. You rebelled against Bisson with a super weapon. You were warned about this particular shore, and you repeatedly rejected Bisson. Correct. You need to have condensed negichos to make the rebellion more acute. How do you make it more acute? Either because you have a super weapon or because you're not listening to Bisson about the same animal three times. You're giving a different version of why we'd need condensed negichos if it's just about the person rebelling against Bisson. Yes, Yishai.
Do we have trouble with a real Baal being moed based on the Pesukim that are talking about
Okay, so we'll talk about the pasuk a little bit later. The pasuk, we'll talk about it now. But who had bivalav? So actually, the Baal does appear as the subject of who had. But we're going to quote that pasuk in a few minutes. Okay, let's see this very very complicated Gemara. I will summarize the Gemara. So if you had a hard time reading Gemara, here's a good chance. I'm not going to read the Gemara line by line, but I'll summarize this very fancy schmancy Edom Zoim case. And Ravina's answer is going to raise, Azaria, a very interesting possibility, which most Rishonim are going to reject, but the Rambam's going to adopt, as the Hashlema alludes to. Okay, so the Rambam may be the most extreme Yudigavra position that we'll see. Okay, let's start. Whatever the logic of Yudigavra and Yudituri is, layer one, interlacing Hasros versus one final Hasra. Layer two, spread the Hasros over time because they contribute to the animal status change. Level three, spread the Hasros over time because they change the person into a rebel or change him into a... The halacha l'maisa nafkamina is Yudei Tura, all the Edom can come at once to the base, and Yudei Gavra they have to come on separate days. So sometimes you get confused with the lumdas. We have different lumdasher approaches to Yudei Gavra, but tachlis, what's the halacha? Yudei Tura, they can come one day. Yudei Gavra, they have to come on separate days. The only brisa the Gemara can cite to clock in on this machlokis is an Edom Zomimim case. And that's how we move all the way to Edom Zomimim. Okay, what makes Edom Zomimim so relevant to this case? Because if you have Edom Zomimim that have to cooperate with other Edom Zomimim for their hazama, normally, for my conspiracy, I don't need other people. If I conspire and make you pay $100, when I say me, I mean a group of Edom, group number one, so I'm a standalone Edom Zomimim. I said, Zev, you had $100 to no, and I said, me, I'm in Edom. I was Edom Zomim, so I pay. But there are more, sometimes there are compound chayivim. So in order to make you chayiv dal v'hei, I have to join up with other Edom that talk about the Geneva, and then I spoke falsely about the Tzicha Mechira. So when you have these cases, it creates a very interesting Edom Zomim model. How do we parse Edom Zomim where there are multiple groups of Edom necessary to reach one common destination chayiv? And that could be Kineva Tzicha Mechira, where the first group has a partial Chiyav, but both groups are necessary for the ultimate Chiyav, because if you don't get through Kineva, there's no Tzicha Mechira. And it could be in our case, where to get to Nezek Shalim, on the fourth Negicha, you need three groups of Edom to prove each Negicha against Reuven, against Shimon, against Levi. That's the premise of the Sugya. Okay, what would happen if group number one talked about the Nezek against Reuven, group number two talked about the Nezek against Shimon, group number three talked about the Nezek against Levi. So all three together are conspiring to upgrade you to Nezek Shalim payment, either on the third Negicha, if you hold like Rava, depending on the Gerus and Rashi, or for the fourth Negicha against Yehuda. So we have three groups of Edom that are conspiring to create Nezek Shalim. Which would mean that, since for Nezek Shalim purposes, the three groups are really all necessary, they constitute one group of Edom. To get to Nezek Shalim, you need three groups. And you'll only pay your Kasher Zamam if all three get Muzamed. That's the halacha of the Mishnah. Okay, halacha number two, I'm just giving you the stages of the Mishnah. All three Kitos of Edom are necessary to get you to Nezek Shalim. Therefore, the only time that these Edom would pay their Kasher Zamam would be if all three fall through Hazam. And if one falls, you don't yet pay the Nezek Shalim Zamama, you just pay, oh, you said Edus, yet one is pay Chatzin Nezek, pay back Chatzin Nezek. So that's the sequence of the Brisa. When the first Kat falls to Hazama, they don't pay the Nezek Shalim they wanted to conspire, even though they're part of a Nezek Shalim, they're part of a larger Nezek Shalim conspiracy, because the entire Nezek Shalim conspiracy group, the entire, what's the word on the entire clan, the entire putsch, hasn't yet been Muslim. They've only been Muslim on their Chatzin Nezek, they pay the Chatzin Nezek. When the second group falls, the entire clan that wanted to conspire to bring this guy to Nezek Shalem hasn't yet fallen, so then there's made their Chatzin Nezek conspiracy. When the third group falls, everyone has fallen. We've killed all the conspirators. We found out all the conspirators. We skunked them out. So now all three are going to pay not just their Chatzin Nezek, but the potential Nezek Shalem that they set up for the fourth Negicha. So since they wanted this guy to pay for the fourth Negicha, they'll have to pay some extra beyond their Chatzin Nezek. What that extra is not important right now. If it's three Negichos, then there's no yet Nezek Shalem. It's just potential for Nezek Shalem, unless you hold that they pay Nezek Shalem in the third Negicha. That's where Rashi changes the gear. So, but let's not get down to those details. Once all three fall, they're not just going to pay for their minor conspiracy to be Mechayivim Chatzin Nezek with their Eidos, but there's a broader macro conspiracy to get the guy into Nezek Shalim territory, and they're going to have to pay back Nezek Shalim. Let's say, the easiest way to say, Nezek Shalim for the third damage, let's say that third damage was $1 million, so they'll have to join in paying back $500,000, which was the extra that they brought. Had they not conspired, he would have paid $500,000 for that last Negicha. Since they all conspired, if they hold like Rava, they'll pay $1 million. They wanted to make him pay $1 million for the last Negicha, so all three have to pay their share of the $500,000. That's the Gemara's, that's the shell of the Brisa. Now, the Gemara feels that this Brisa smells of Yehudei Tura. Why is it smell of Yehudei Tura? Because if you hold Yehudei Tura, then we have a scenario where they all come on the same day, and they're all smiling and laughing and smirking. We hate Zev, we hate Zev, we hate Zev. You can see it on their face. And they're trying to screw Zev and get into Nezek Shalem territory. So they're all part of one large conspiracy. One is on the grassy knoll, one is in the library. They're all killing Kennedy together. So we're going to get them and make them pay Nezek Shalem together. But if you hold Yehudei Gavra, then group one came on Tuesday. Group two came on Wednesday. Group three came on Thursday. They're not part of some larger conspiracy to get the guy to Nezek Shalem because they were unaware of each other. So you can't say, oh, you conspired to make him Nezek Shalem. No clue who's coming tomorrow. No clue who came yesterday. So the Gemara feels that this is a Yehudei Tura Brisa. The only way for this Brisa to make sense is Yehudei Tura. Why? Because in order to see them as three groups of co-conspirators, they have to be aware of each other's part in the process. They're going to be aware if they come on the same day. Okay. To which the Gemara responds. Now let's just pick up the Gemara. This is just the part that's important for us. Okay. At least for our discussion right now. At which point the Gemara says on Chaf Daled, it says, wait a second. Rav Kahana said, Amar Rav Ashi, line number 3. I'm Risa L'Shmaitza Kamed Rav Kahana. I told this Raya to Rav Kahana that this Brisa smells like Yehudei Tura because Yehudei Gavra is impossible. And he responded, and you think this is such an easy Brisa for Yehudei Tura? Okay, they all came together. And maybe the first two groups you can say, oh, these guys are coming to screw Zev and to make him Chaim Nezek Shalem. Why in the world would group number 1 and group number 2 show up in Beis Din on a day that we're prosecuting Nezek 3, right? Their Eidus was about the Nezek that happened to Reuven. Their Eidus was about the Nezek that happened to Shimon. Right now, we're litigating Levi, which is the third Negicha. Why in the world would Eidim about the Negicha against Reuven and the Negicha against Shimon show up to the trial about the third Negicha against Levi? Evidently, they have it out for Zev. They want Zev to pay on the third Negicha Nezek Shalem. So when we're litigating Zev's Negicha against the third victim, Levi, all of a sudden the first two groups say, by the way, he also damaged Reuven. By the way, he also damaged Shimon. Yeah, we see in your beady little eyes and your furrowed eyebrow and your handlebar mustache that you guys have sinister intentions and therefore you're part of the co-conspirators. But the last group that came and said Zev damaged Levi, even though they're in Beis Din on the same day as the first two groups, how do they know what they're there for? They just came to Beis Din, not to conspire. They came to Beis Din to say that Zev's animal damaged Levi and Zev is a Bei Chatzin Nezek. They're not part of a larger Nezek Shalom conspiracy. They didn't know about the other two Edom. The first two groups of Edom, why the heck are you coming about Negicha that isn't yours? You have it out for Zev. You want Zev to pay Nezek Shalom in the third Negicha. You're conspirators. But the third group, they're not Kasher Zamam. The third group is an innocent group. They came to Beis Din. They saw other Eidim there. They have no idea why they're there. They said they're Eidus. They want Zev to pay Chatzin Nezek. They're not part of a larger conspiracy. That's the problem. Amali Yehudei Tura Minicha, line number 5. V'leim Ruhanach Basrai. Let the last group say. The first two groups have nothing to say. Why the heck are you coming about Negichos that we're not prosecuting right now? You have it out for Zev. You want to augment his payment. But the last group should say, We're simple guys. We saw Zev's animal damage. He's a Tam. We're Bechazinez. We have nothing larger. We don't know any about the other Edom. We don't know what they're saying. We just said our Edus. Lema Hanach Basrai, Anan, Minayadinan, the Chol Dekai de Beidina, Lasvidi Beturakasi. So we see all these Edom coming to Beis, and I don't know what they're talking about. I came and said, Edus, I'm a simple guy. A simple set of Edom. So, namely, Rav Kahana rejected the Raya from his Brisa. You thought the Brisa doesn't work for Yudhi Gavra, because the Edom come on separate days. But he told you, the two will come on the same day. You're going to come on the same day. You can't see the final Edom as conspirators for something they didn't know about. So the Gemara gives three answers. Answer number one and two is technical. Answer number three is a sea change. Answer number one is, well, there's a way for the last group to know about the first two groups. They're going like this. You know, let's get Zev. You know, looking at Zev. Come around Zimmeruzi. They're all coming to Beis Din. They're looking at each other. They're winking eyes at each other. They're holding up propaganda against Zev, you know. An anti-Zev movement. We can tell their last group, they're not so innocent. They're coming to really give it to Zev, to really stick it to Zev. Or the Gemara says, not come around Zimmeruzi, they're watching Shverat Sufim. They come, literally, pow, pow, pow. You know, it's like there's a schedule. Group number one is, yeah, we're talking about Zev today, but a couple days earlier, Zev's animal damage group. And I talk about Zev today against Levi, a couple days. And then right after, the Edom come and talk about an unrelated Negicha of Zev against Shimon 3 days ago, then all of a sudden, by the way, all the damage Levi. So it sounds like they're all part of one collusion, one conspiracy. Okay, so these are ways to solve the problem technically. We know the third Edom are not so innocent because of their hand motions and their body language and because they're coming together. The third option is, that maybe the third set of Edom say in Edus that can only be interpreted as conspiracy for Nezek Shalim rather than Chatzin Nezek. The content of their Edus, not their body language, the content of their Edus can only be interpreted one way. You're not innocent just coming to make Zev Chayv Chatzin Nezek. You're coming to get Zev to Nezek Shalim territory. What type of Edus would let us know that they're not coming to be Mechayv Chatzin Nezek, their only purpose is Nezek Shalim? We don't know which animal. If their Edus is that Zev's animal damaged Levi, but we don't know which animal, why can't there be a Chatzin Nezek payment? Because it's Migufo. And without knowing the worth of the animal that damaged, you can't start the payment process. So they say, the third set says, the Omer, as the Gemara says, Ravidamar, b'makirin bal ashor, v'ein makirin es ashor. The third group doesn't know which shore did the damage. So why are you coming to Beis Din third group if you don't know which shore did the damage? You're not going to start Tom payment because we don't know the payment baseline. Evidently, the third group also, they just want to be part of this conspiracy to stick it to Zev. And therefore, when they all fall, they all pay their Nezek Shalim part because it's a larger conspiracy. It's a hard brisa to parse. That's why I'm giving it to you. You have to like take it slow, write it out. That's the conclusion. Okay. Now the Rishonim say, okay, so now the last group has told Zev, then we don't really know which animal did the damage. So how do we know that Zev has a moored animal in his flock? If we don't know that one animal did three damages. The last group didn't really know which animal, because that's the only way to explain the Brisa in a way that would see them as conspirators. So let's see Tosfos together. I didn't give you this Tosfos. It's an easy Tosfos. Don't worry. I mean, you can pick out a line from the Tosfos. B'makirin bal ashor, Tosfos, about six or seven lines down. V'im tomar. Kivan de'ein makirin, as ashor, shema oso shenagach rishona lo zeu shenagach shenir v'shlishes. Tosfos is assuming that maybe the first and second group also didn't know. You don't need that for the brisa, but it sounds like we're shifting the whole brisa, where group one and group two also said there's a shore in your flock that did damage. You don't need it in the brisa, but it's the same logic. Even if the first two groups knew which shore, the third group didn't know which shore, so you don't know that one shore did all damages. Tosfos is assuming that no one really knew which shore, so you don't know anything about the shore. It could be three totally different animals. Not important. And there was one did two and one did one, or no, one, one, one. It doesn't make a difference for us. So v'yeh shlomar, here's the ukimta. Kigon shila'achar she'itu kulam ra'u v'yikiru she'esekol anegichos. At the time of Edos, group three had no clue about the animal. Why are you coming to base if you don't know which animal? You're a conspirator. You must be an Edzomim conspirator. Because if you don't know which animal, you're only coming to stick it to Zev. And then, a couple hours later, after all the Edos were accepted, then all of a sudden, you know, everyone got together. Yeah, it was probably this animal. In the end, they all know that one animal did all three damages. Again, Tosfos, Kigon shel acher she'idu kulam We were able to establish that there's one animal that did three negichos. Namely, according to Tosfos, there is no way to make someone a muad on moving targets. You can't be a muad because you have three different animals in your rishus, Yishai, that did damages. Even though you're a super poshea and you're a super rebel, you have to be a super poshea and a super rebel about one animal that did three damages. So this is your classic case of having your cake and eating it too. At the time of the Eidos, group three didn't know which animal. So they're clearly conspirators for Nezek Shalim. So why would you be coming to base it? But in the end, we all know that it was Betsy. And Betsy did it three times. That's the only way to make you a mort. And Yossi, not only did I know it was Betsy the first three times, but then tomorrow, where an animal does damage, I know that the animal tomorrow was the animal the first three times. They also have to establish that, which Tosfos doesn't ask, but the Rishonim asks. Ben Mitzvah says, okay, so you know that the animal, you know, three times, but how do you know that tomorrow's animal is the same animal that they all saw, not knowing, but we assume? So we know also, having gathered information that it was Betsy that did all three, we now know tomorrow when Betsy does it, she's doing number four. Okay, so essentially, there is no mechanism of Muad, Nezek Shalem, unless you can condense it about one animal. Even though Yehuda Gavra invites that option, if it's about the person who cares about the same animal, you're a super poshea, the answer is no, you're a super poshea about one animal. Avi, no, you're a rebel about one animal that you repeatedly don't listen to base it. It's all about one animal. It's all about one animal. And for Yehuda, that animal has to be over a three-day period or else it's a bad day and you don't have a super weapon in your rishus. The Rambam, not so clear. The Rambam, not in this Gemara. Let's turn to the Gemara Mem Aleph. Okay, so the Gemara, we'll see much more of the Gemara tomorrow. The Gemara Mem Aleph is not talking about Nezek Shalim, but it is talking about Kofar, which is also a Muad consequence. You only pay Kofar for Muad. And the Gemara asks, here the Kasha is, how does an animal ever become a muad for killing that would lead you to kofar? In Perek Sheni, it's very easy. Damage, 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 nezek shalim. But kill, 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 first time the animal kills a person, it gets skilah, sakoy, sakoy, ashar, niska. Has an animal ever graduate to being a shar muad for killing people that would then pay kofar? Famous kasha. So Gemara has all types of solutions. One aspect is it ran off to the agam and you couldn't catch it. You've seen the Gemara, you saw the Gemara yesterday, you saw the Gemara, it's a famous Gemara. One option the Gemara says here is our good old friend, the end of the Gemara, Ravina Amar, the same Ravina. Keep that in mind. Bim makirin es bal ashor, v'ein makirin es ashor. Your animal, an animal in your estate already killed a person. And then tomorrow an animal is going to kill a person. An animal is going to kill a person, so we don't kill any animal. And then on Wednesday, when your animal kills a person, you pay kofar. Now, we would apply the same business. And now, how could you pay kofar on some moving target animal? It's where at the time that you said Eidos, we didn't know which animal, so no animal got killed. And then on day three, right before the Nezek, after the fourth Nezek, oh, by the way, Betsy that killed time number four, we now know that was the Betsy of time one, two, and three. So at time one, two, and three, we didn't know it was Betsy, so we didn't kill Betsy, so Betsy lived to day four to do her fourth killing. But after Betsy killed on day four, we now know, Betsy was day one to two, because you can't pay kofar unless you have a repeat offender that killed three times and now kills a fourth time. Namely, there's no way to punish a person for kofar unless it's based on an animal being a super killer. We didn't know it at the time, or else the animal never would have become a super killer, would have killed the animal. So at the time, we didn't know. The animal lived to survive. But after the fact, on day four, after the animal killed its fourth time, this Betsy, we now, cold case, and we realize, Betsy was the one that did it all the time, and therefore we're going to make you pay kofar because you didn't watch properly Betsy, who had the, you had to watch because you knew you had a killer on the loose, and it was all about Betsy. After the fact. That's the Pashtus. Now let's read the Rambam. It's a very, very famous Rambam. It's a Rambam about Kofar, so don't get all crazy on me, but the Rambam in Hilchos Niske Mamon Perek Yud Halacha Gimel gives all the scenarios that an animal can graduate to being a Kofar payer without being killed beforehand. And the Rambam says, V'chein, Imhekiru ha'edim is Baal Ashor. All three sets of edim about animals murdering people know that it's, Elisha. Elisha, you're the animal owner, the animal killer owner. We know that one day, number one, Sunday, an animal in your flock killed someone. Day number two, Monday, an animal in your flock. Day number three, Monday. On Wednesday, if an animal in your flock kills, you pay kofar. And the Rambam doesn't say, and we all know it's one animal. V'chein im hekiru ha'edim as Baal Ashor. V'lo hekiru ha'ashor b'pam rishon v'shnei v'shlishis. Uvaravias, listen to the language of the Rambam. And on Wednesday, ro, edim si, show ro, any animal from Elisha's estate, shaharag, v'loha yu yodim. And they don't know on Wednesday, im zehu ashor shaharag b'shlosh b'pam rishon. If that's really the killer shore, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Oh, achar haya, maybe the animal on Wednesday is a totally different animal. Listen carefully, Yishai. Hoel v'hu adu ha-ba'ilim sheyesh lehem bibkarim shor shaharag shalosh b'amim. You were warned three times that you have a killer in your estate. Ha'ilam lishmar ko b'amtam. You should have watched all your animals. Me'achar shalosh shamru mishalim es ha-kofer. Guys, I rest my case. This is Yehudei Gavra on steroids. We don't know that you have one animal that did all the crimes. We just know that you're super negligent because you know you have animals that did crimes and you didn't watch your flock. Wow. This is exactly what Dovi doesn't like. This is exactly what the Hashlama fought against. You gotta have an animal that does three negichos. What are you talking about here? It's all one animal, three negichos. It's a pasuk in the Torah. The answer is no. It's not about the animal. It's about you. And once it's about you, I can amputate the you business from the animal. I can sever them. Now the big million-dollar question in the Rambam is, would he say the same thing, not just about kofar, but also about nezek shalim for damage payments? It could be added that for kofar, it's about you. Because kofar is basically you should die and you're kofar. So when it comes to paying kofar, it's not really niske mamon bava kama halachos. That's something else. What's kofar? Kofar is you decide to kill. So when we talk about kofar, you have to die. Of course, you don't die, you pay kofar. So there we're all talking about your negligence, your criminality, you, kofar yusha salat. So you are criminal, Elisha, even if you don't have one animal that did all the deeds, because it's death. You should have been more careful with your flock. And since you weren't careful repeatedly, you pay kofar, even if we can't pin it on one animal. But the Rambam would never say this about Nezek Shalom, because Nezek Shalom is not about you, it's about animals, like A, Shane, Beregel, and there you have to condense it to one animal, even if we're trying to change you into a super poshea, it's also about one animal, not about your negligence. You missed it, Asai, we just said what you asked before. The only reason that I don't like limiting this Rambam, okay, here's a nice little raya. It's because the Rambam about kofar is describing Ravina Shita. And Ravina says the same thing about Niske Mamo that he says about kofar. It's the same Ravina who gives the scenario of knowing the person, not knowing the animal, both about kofar, to solve the how does the animal ever survive the first goring, the first murder of a person. And Ravina says the same thing about trying to solve this brisa, how do we ever incriminate that third set, because they didn't know which animal. And there's no update in Ravina. By the way, we find it afterwards. So, on Bava Kama Chav Dalet, most we've shown him update Ravina. At the time of the Aedis, we didn't know which animal. But later we found out it was the same animal. Because otherwise, if it's not the same animal, you can't even budge. But the Rambam on Daf Mem Aleph doesn't provide that update. And he says that kofar, this is Mefurish in the Rambam, that kofar could be paid without knowing one animal did all the damage. And it's the same Ravina. Is the Rambam Mr. Yehudei Gavra? In the end of the day, can the Rambam say that Leman Diyamar, listen carefully, and with this we'll end the Yehudei Gavra conversation, when we consider Yehudei Gavra, Rabbi Yehuda's three-day spread, is just this. When Rabbi Yehuda said you need 3 days, he didn't mean you need negichos in 3 days. I don't care about negichos. I don't even care about one animal did the negichos. So I don't care that one animal did the three negichos. I certainly don't care when they happened. I need 3 days for Beis Din. Rameir says you need Beis Din on 1 day. Rameir says you need Beis Din on 3 days. When the negichos happen, I don't care. 1 day, I don't even know which animal did it. What changes person into a mort is the based in activity, and you're changing the person, not the animal. And if I don't really care when the negichos happen, and I completely ignore, not a deer that I split the negichos and the hasros, I completely ignore the negichos, is this the Rambam? Okay, let's summarize, then we'll get to the easier part of today's shir, much, much easier part of today's shir. We'll try to do it quickly. No Masil Sashem today, because I know the shir clearly. Let's summarize. We have the Shita Yudei Gavra. Three ways. First two ways, it's all about the shor. Yudei Gavra doesn't mean it's about the person. Third approach is about the person. First two approaches, we're changing the shor. Either Yudei Gavra means worn repeatedly, in which case there's no chiddush about how the shor is changing. The shor is being proven to be violent, but just worn repeatedly so the guy knows about it and can process it. The second approach, which is based on Rashi's view of the sugya, is no. That we're changing the shor, but what changes the shor is A, it's a halachic change, not just and now it's proven to be violent. And what changes the shor is not just the gorings, but the pronouncement in Beis Din by the Eidim and by Beis Din. And therefore, not only does the negiros have to be spread over time, which allows a status change, but the Beis Din activity has to be spread over time. The third layer is, can there really be mahalach where Yudei Gavra is taken literally? That we're not changing the shor, we're changing you about a shor. That's a Bein Peretz's idea. That's what Tosis rejects. Seems to be that way in Mashlama. And can we move that ever so slightly to a more radical position where we're not changing you about your shor, we're changing you about you. And that's a larger meta-flock change. Your flock is dangerous, and therefore you are negligent because you are repeatedly affecting others by your negligence about your flock. That seems to be impossible, but from the Rambam, on Daf Mem Aleph, at least by Kofar, it sounds like it's a plausible approach. Okay? Yes, Zev. What? Yudei Gavra is a suffix for him.
But yet he's asking so true within Yudei Gavra.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, but yet within, we see within the Sfara, he holds up Yudei Gavra. Yudei Gavra is so
true. Oh, you're saying if he holds up Yudei Gavra by Kofar, how come he has a suffix by Nezek Shalom? Okay, so he feels by Nezek Shalom, it's not as clear as it is by Kofar. But the option of Yudei Gavra would follow the same pattern as Yudei Gavra by Kofar, which would liberate us from the animal. Okay, good question. Okay, let's very, very much easier sugyas. If you had a hard time with that end, which is a hard gemara, but let's really focus in because we're moving now to the final question. How important is Beis Din? And what's happening in Beis Din? So let's start the gemara Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. This is a very easy gemara, so we're going to see what time it is. Yeah, we'll finish this in 15 minutes. I'll go very quickly. We'll see gemara Bava Basra, and we'll conclude. The gemara says as follows. Tashma, the beginning of that brisa, which we quoted for the Edom Zonim. It's the Edom Zonim conceptualization, which was so juicy, because it seemed to be Yudei Tura, not Yudei Gavra, and then they've kind of said, well, wait a second, even Yudei Tura needs some updating. But the beginning of the Brisa drops a halacha. Okay, what does the Brisa say? Tashma, this is a Brisa. Ein hashor nase muad, ad she'yidu bo bifnei bailim u bifnei beisdin. He'idu bifnei beisdin, v'shalom bifnei bailim, bifnei bailim, v'shalom bifnei beisdin, einu nase muad, very, very verbose brisa that repeats things many, many, many times. You need this. If you have one and not the other and not one, it doesn't work until you have both. It's like your classic extra language brisa. You need A and B. A without B doesn't work. B without A doesn't work until you have A and B. Okay. So let's cut the brisa in half. Let's talk about the need to have the person, Yishai, standing there when the Edom come. Pashtos is, this is a general halacha. Namely, anytime you have Eidos and Shas, whether it's about Shor HaMoed, whether it's about money, whether it's about anything, you need to have the Baal there to face the Eidim and give the Baal a chance to say his piece. And the fact that by Shor HaMoed, you need to have the Baal come and listen to the Eidos against his animal repeatedly all three times doesn't prove anything about Moed. Close the Gemara, move on. What's the first break that makes you think that something unique is happening here? Anyone see the Mukhi Yosef? What does the Mukhi Yosef say? I gave it to you, right? Even though normally there are extenuating circumstances where you can take Eidus Shalom B'fnei Baldin, give me an example where you can receive Eidus with the Baldin not present. He's sick, accident happened, the Eidah have to run away before the Baal can come. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, which maybe we'll see on Daf Kuf Beis. When it comes to Shor HaMoed, No ifs, ands, or buts. That's why the Braisa was so deliberate. You need Edim in Beis Din in front of the Baal. If you have Beis Din without the Baal, Baal without Beis Din, you need both. The Braisa is coming to tell you, don't take any shortcuts. I'm teaching you how to see these offsets. Why in the world would Charmor be more chamor than regular Edus? Why in the world would you say that if it's Edus about, I don't know, killing a Mechal Shabbos, and the Mechal Shabbos can't make it because he's sick. You know what? Have the Edim come anyway. But Shor Muad, whoa, guy's got to be there. Got to follow Yisrael David's picture. Got to be standing and based it. It makes me think, start to think, that maybe the need for the Baal to come to based in by Shor Muad is not just technical and global to hear the Edos and respond. But it may be because Yishai Zatara writes of Huad Biva Olav, making a change in the Baal. I'm giving him a new status. What do you think?
The Gemara there uses the same pasuk.
Correct. Good kasha from the Dafka Fir Beis. Kiv Eger discusses it. The Rashba already says that the pasuk is very, very limited to Muad. And the Gemara just uses the pasuk as an esmachta. Just like Memurad, we have halacha, so this is the pasuk we'll quote. But the halacha of Eim Makablam Eidim Mechlal Shulam Fein Valdin has nothing to do with Muad Bevala. Look at the Rashba on Daf Kuf Yud Beis in the Beis. What I just told Azaria, what I just told you, is exactly what Tosfos says in Baba Basra, Chaf Chasam and Beis. And with this Tosfos will end, and then maybe I'll just quote a Rambam, and then we'll leave the role of Beis in tomorrow. But the need for the Baal to receive the Eidus may mean that the Eidim, well, let's, I'll take you in a moment. Let's see the Gemara Baba Basra Chaf Chasam and Beis. I didn't give it to you on the Makaras, but it's an easy enough Gemara. Remember the Gemara had this Havamina to derive the laws of 3 years, Cheskes Gimel Shanim for Muad. So the Gemara says, well, if you derive 3 years of Cheskes Gimel Shanim for Muad, then just like all the Muad testimony has to be in front of the Baal, you saw David's picture, maybe all the Cheskes Gimel Shanim interaction has to be in Beis Din, in front of the Baal. Namely, if let's say I squat on Oren's land for 3 years, and if Oren's silent, I win, and I keep the land. But if Oren protests, and anyone know what we call that? I protest against the 3 year macha, then he breaks my 3 years. So if Oren, within each 3 years, protests, then I don't get the field. But the halach is, you can make a macha, Oren can protest without coming and facing me. So let's say Oren's in, I don't know, in Atlanta, and the whole squatting drama is happening in Tel Aviv. Oren doesn't have to come from Atlanta to Tel Aviv to protest my squatting orders, and he can protest in Atlanta, and if we know he protested in Atlanta, then my squatting in Tel Aviv won't be successful. Namely, macha shalabafan of having macha. The Gemara says, wait a second. If all the Muad communications have to be in based in front of the parties, then shouldn't Oren have to come from Atlanta to protest in Tel Aviv? Because after all, we learn Cheskes Gimel Shanim from Muad. If we're learning it from Muad, then how can you allow macha shalabafan? Okay, obviously we're not interested right now in Gimel Shanim, we're more interested in Muad. Let's just read the Gemara, and we'll see the answer the way Rashi reads it and the way Tosfos reads it. And you'll see what I'm saying very clearly. This is still Rashi. Remember, Rashi before Chaf Tes and Baba Basra is still Rashi. So let's read the Gemara. The Gemara says, Chaf Chesam Adveis, Maskifla Rabbi Avira, line number 7. Elameata, Macha Shlomofan of Lotavi Macha. Oren shouldn't be able to be in Atlanta and make a Macha. You should have to come to Tel Aviv. Dumi the Sharamor. Ma sharmur b'fan of binan. Sharmur, the edus has to happen if they bald in. Av hachanami b'fan of binan. Macha, which we learn out from sharmur, should also be in front of the bald in. Okay, it's not a terribly difficult question. Where it says, hasam, when it comes to saying edus about muad, yishai v'huad b'valav tziv. The bal has to be there because it says v'huad b'valav. Hacha, but when it comes to macha, you all know the famous Gemara, chavra, chavra, islay, chavra, the chavra, chavra, islay, is all gossip. Oren will speak in Atlanta, someone will get in a plane from Atlanta to England. I'll say, by the way, did you hear Oren called a McDarrigan a liar and a cheater and a thief? And then in England, they'll travel to Tel Aviv, and they'll say, McDarrigan's been called a thief in Atlanta. Of course, today we don't need those communications. It will be up on Twitter and Facebook within minutes, and everyone will know. So basically, Oren doesn't have to come because word will travel. But by Moor, we have halacha that the Baal has to be the receiving agents. Okay. Let's just take a quick glance at Rashi and a quick glance at Tosfos as they explain the pasuk of Vod Bevalav and why you need Eidos in front of the Baal by Mort. So Rashi is Dibra Maschil Hasam Vod Bevalav. Okay. Line number 5 in Rashi, end of the line, Dehasam. Dehasam by Mord, Kivan Dehada L'chaiva Maman Al Megichasa, if you're trying to make someone chayv money, L'amid Shura B'cheskes Mord, you're trying to make the Shura into a Mord, which will have financial ramifications, beat him if they buy them, the Baal has to be there, She'yedu lit'on v'lahache sha'edim v'lahavi acherim lasim. You know why I have to be there? Because it's not fair to me, Yossi. If I'm not there and you come talking about my shar, maybe I've got other rayos, maybe I've got other edim, maybe I've got edim zomim, namely, technical and global. Why do I have to be there, Yishai, to receive edus or shamuad? So that I can respond. That same need applies to all edus. If you come about shamuad, if you come about a loan, if you come about a contract, you come about whatever, anytime you come, I should be there, and I need to be there because I have the right to deliberate and to cross-examine and to bring counter rayos. Rashi raises a svara for why the Baal has to be present during Eidos or Muad, which is a global svara, which reminds us is not a unique halacha. Okay, you hear the methodology? The svara Rashi gives in Bava Basra to explain why the Baal has to be there for Muad is not a local Muad svara. It's a global, which means the halacha, Vein Makabam Eidim Shlodath Nebal Din Shinim Revolim, is a global halacha. Who asked the question? A minute ago that said the Rashba? You asked the question, which means the Rashba is wrong. That Vur Bevalav is a makar for all Eidos, and Vur Bevalav is teaching us that the Torah wants people to have the right to respond. Tosfos, by contrast, Dibur Maschil Elameata, again, just two lines. Tosfos says Dibur Maschil Elameata. Okay, last three lines in Tosfos. Avol Behada Greida. Gezeras hakasev hu de'ein nase muad ela im kein me'idim befanav afilo yisbar lo be'elef edim she'idu el shara be'beistim. It's a gezeras hakasev, you have to be there, v'huad bevalav, you saw David's great picture, he has to stand there in beistim while it's happening. So from Tosfos, it sounds like it's a unique halacha to muad, it's not a global halacha, it's a gezeras hakasev of huad bevalav, Azaria, the Limud, and Afkof Yud Beis Din, and it's Machta. That's what obviously tells us we have to say, like the Rashba. And there's a special halacha by Muad, and that's why, so we'll link it back to the Mikra Yosef, that's why, even though normally,
there are exceptions.
You need the Baal to be there, but there are exceptions for Muad. No ifs, ands, or buts. Because normally, the reason the Baal has to be there, yes, is for technical reasons. If he can't make it because of an onus, what happened? Okay. But by Muad, it's Xeris Akasev. We can only create what we need to create in Beis Din. Now I'll use the Lamdisha language, and it's the Rav's language, but it doesn't have to be the Rav. Normal Eidos is Lebeirur Hadavar, to prove what happened. And therefore, the Baal should be there to counterattack, but if he's not there, we'll find solutions. Eidos in Shara Muad is to create a status. And when you're creating a status, you can only create the status if the people, and I'm using a vague word carefully, which I'll sharpen in a moment, if the people and if the objects and their representatives upon whom the status is being changed are there. Namely, from the Nimuki Yosef and from Tosos and Bava Basra, it seems like, A, there's a status change happening. B, the Edim are part of that status change happening. Call that a transformation. We'll see what role base in place tomorrow. I won't do it all in one shear, but now, does this mean that since the Baal has to be there, look at me, his status is changing? And we go like the Rambam? I don't know. You can still say that the Edim are changing the status of the animal, but some representative of the animal has to be there when we change its status. I'm changing the status of an animal in the wild. If I change the status of an animal you own, you have to be there for that status change to occur. Not just to find out that the status has happened, but I can't change a status unless I'm changing the status about something. And being there, we don't bring animals into court. That's not what we normally do. We bring you into court. Yavo balash or v'yamanol shor. So just because you have to be there because the Edim are creating a status change, and no ifs, ands, or buts, and it's a gzeres akasuv, it's a unique halacha, no ifs, ands, or buts, doesn't necessarily mean that we're changing your status. You could say that. The Rambam, the Rav Wunderth claim, does say that, right? He's built the whole Malach and the Rambam. But one thing we see, at least if we take it this way, unlike normal Eidos, which is just to clarify what happened so we can litigate, and for clarification, we want the Baal to be there to be able to answer, but if you're not there because you're sick, whatever, okay, we'll go ahead with it. Here, the Eidim are creating a status change, as Rashi says in Tosfos says in Bava Basra. Since the Eidim are creating a status change, either the animal or the Baal, obviously you still have a situation both, but which keep animals out of basin have to be there, so the status could be changed. It may be that we're changing your status, maybe that we're changing Betsy's status, but you have to be there for the status change to happen. Tomorrow we're going to see how this affects basin. Thursday, how this affects basin, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Gemara Lamed Zion, just because I want to give you a taste of Lamed Zion, whether you could have a cross species moord. Moord lamino, moord chain amino. So we'll talk very, very briefly about Lamed Zion, and then we'll close the moord sukkah. Okay? So again, we had two shiurim. The harder part of today's shiur was layering Yehudei Gavra. And that highest layer is the most abstract. The simple layer is, say three times so he understands it. The second layer is interlace it because it contributes to the status change along with negichos. The third layer is, no, we're changing the person. And changing the person, in theory, can sever itself from the animal. The Hashlama and Dovi Goldberg fought against it. It sounds like the Rambam is accepting it, at least in the scenario of knowing you've got crazy animals in your flock. You have to pay kofar, even though we never know that one animal did it. Something that all the Rishonim and Chavdalet try to say, no. In the end, we know. And by the way, this is a good case of a Gemara, where just to see the Brisa, it takes you 2 hours just to uncork the Brisa, just to read it again and again and again and again, what's the Brisa saying? So that's why these shirim are so long. I want to give you language, circuitry, Gemara circuitry. Learn how to read Gemara. Learn what Chazal is saying. Just this, the more it becomes second nature, the more you can pile through these difficult prices and difficult tosses because you got the logic in there. Okay, stop here. I want you guys to have time for Shir Klal. We're not going to learn. I'm still say Shir. Okay.